Delicious meets nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios. Each 1 ounce serving of Wonderful Pistachios has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value and making Wonderful Pistachios one of the highest protein nuts. But perhaps more than that, I love all of the flavors they have. Their sea salt and vinegar ones are my favorite when I'm craving that flavor but want to keep it healthy. But that's just the tip of the iceberg. Wonderful Pistachios come in a variety of flavors, like chili roasted, honey roasted, smoky barbecue, and jalapeno lime, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. So fill up with a healthy snack when hunger strikes. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. That's WonderfulPistachios.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Optimal Health Daily, episode 1599. Sprint intervals or endurance training? Which is best? By Bryce Hastings with lesmills.com. And I'm Dr. Neil, your host and narrator. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for being here and welcome back to a new week of Optimal Health Daily. This is where I read to you from some of the best health and fitness blogs on the web, kind of like an ongoing audiobook, and always with a bit of my commentary at the end. And with that, I'm going to keep this intro nice and short, so let's get right to today's article as we optimize your life. Sprint intervals or endurance training. Which is best? By Bryce Hastings with lesmills.com. You know you're getting old when you begin statements with, "I remember when." Well, guess what? I remember when. We're all obsessed with low-intensity, long-duration workouts because they got us into the fat-burning zone. Gyms everywhere were full of people walking slowly on a treadmill while reading a magazine. Heaven forbid you broke into a jog. Then you'd be burning carbs. The theory seemed good. We burn mostly fat during low-intensity activities. You're probably burning mostly fat while you're hearing this. The problem is you don't actually burn much of anything because the intensity is so low. As a response to the lack of effectiveness from exercise at a sleepwalking pace, high-intensity workouts appeared. No more reading magazines. Have you ever tried to read a magazine while you're doing a burpee with a tuck jump? Suddenly, fitness gurus everywhere were competing to see who had the toughest workout. Fast forward another few years, and now we have what researchers are terming sprint intervals, short bursts of very high intensity intervals with the claim that even 4-minute sessions can change your life. In fact, the latest idea is that intervals just 4 seconds long are enough to change your fitness and muscular output. The tendency when something new and sparkly comes along is to throw out the old approach because it's just old and newer must be better. However, as my good friend Dr. Ginger Gottschall says, quote, "We have decades of research demonstrating the effectiveness of longer duration workouts. Why would we suddenly think they have no benefit?" End quote. So where does this leave us? Should we go with 4-second sprint intervals or the more traditional longer sessions? Well, luckily, we have research that might help. Canadian researchers compared sprint interval workouts to endurance sessions over a period of 6 weeks in a group of overweight and obese males. 23 participants were randomly assigned to one of two groups. The sprint group did 4-6 intervals of 30 seconds duration at maximum intensity on a stationary bike with 2 minutes of recovery between each set. They performed this exercise session 3 times per week. The endurance group performed 5 biking sessions per week of 30 to 40 minutes in duration, each at 60% of their maximum intensity. What I found most interesting about the findings of this study was that both approaches generated positive benefits, but the benefits differed between the two groups. Both increased fitness and glucose tolerance. Only the endurance approach, however, decreased blood pressure, abdominal fat, and something called postprandial lipid tolerance, meaning the amount of blood fat that accumulates after a meal. Also, and this is important, the observed improvements in glucose tolerance were better on the days either group exercised. Okay, so what does this all mean? If you like the idea of short, sharp workouts and exercising at an intensity that can be compared to being chased by a bear, sprint intervals are great. If you're happy doing longer sessions with less intensity, endurance sessions are also great. But really, a combination of sprint intervals and endurance sessions is best. Research from our lab used Les Mills grit to demonstrate the superior effects of a combined approach. Active adults who combined 4 moderate to vigorous workouts with 2 30-minute high-intensity Les Mills grit workouts each week showed significant improvements in nearly all the variables we measured. These improvements in VO2, triglyceride levels, strength, and a series of other benefits happened in a mere 6 weeks. Plus, participants expressed their delight in the training variety and had really high levels of overall satisfaction with the experience. We cannot discount the effect of frequency. Training most days, whether it's high intensity or endurance, means you're moving more often and offsetting the effects of being sedentary. This was evidenced in the Canadian study by the fact that the participants had better control of their glucose on the days they trained, regardless of what type of session it was. One of the criticisms of doing nothing but sprint intervals is that you can't do the workouts too often. Research shows that too much high-intensity interval training can result in negative effects. And in the Canadian study, sprint participants exercised just 3 times per week, compared to 5 for the endurance group. Even the 4-second group could only train 3 times per week. A mix of workout intensities allows you to do your endurance training on the days you're not doing the sprint intervals. So, in summary, try to be active most days. Embrace training using sprint intervals a couple of times a week to give your fitness a nudge. And don't let endurance training become a "I remember when" thing of the past. Endurance workouts may be too slow to outrun that pesky grizzly, but this more chill type of exercise means you can come back and train tomorrow as well. You just listened to the post titled "Sprint Intervals or Endurance Training? Which is Best?" by Bryce Hastings with lesmills.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Dr. Neil here for my commentary. So today's author, Bryce, is absolutely right. Use a combination of both high-intensity training and longer-term, lower-intensity endurance training. That's how we achieve optimal balance. Too often, we'll hear of the latest and greatest workout or diet and think, this is it. This is the thing that's finally going to get me to my goals. If I just do this workout or follow this diet every day, I'll hit my goals. Well, consistency is important, don't get me wrong. But sometimes being too consistent can actually lead to setbacks. For example, as again, Bryce mentioned, performing high-intensity activities day after day can actually be problematic. Instead, staying consistent with activity in general, but adding in some variety, is important. So, moving the body consistently, but in a variety of ways, may be most important. All right, that'll do it for the Monday episode. I hope you have a great start to your week, and I'll be back here tomorrow, as usual, where your optimal life awaits.